Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
If I didn't know better, I would think you guys care more about my hot takes on peanut butter and jelly than you do about my award-winning sports opinions. My Twitter is all about the PB&J. You know how much I tolerate Twitter. I don't love Twitter. I'm probably closer to the hate of Twitter. I tolerate it. But every now and then, there are things that make me laugh about this particular mode of social media. And every now and then, it has a redeeming quality. And I think the fact that we're all so caught up in talking about peanut butter and jelly over the last 24 hours, well, that maybe is a positive thing about Twitter, at least for the last 24 hours. I looked for an emoji for peanut butter and jelly and couldn't find one, so I had to use three of them. A peanut in its shell, a bunch of grapes, even though I don't actually eat the grape jelly very often, and then in addition to that, a loaf of bread. That's the best I could come up with. I'm not kidding about this. You all have blown up my Twitter since last night talking about PB&J. Clearly, I'm not the only one who eats it on a regular basis. Although I had to explain to one poor sap on Twitter that I didn't need him to cook for me. I actually do cook. He was very concerned. He's like, I can't deal with this. You eat peanut butter and jelly? No, I have to cook for you. So I just tried to explain to him that I cook all the time. In fact, my famous chili is a recipe that's in high demand. And that I have two crock pots and I enjoy cooking. But every now and then, about the middle of the week, I get a little tired and I think, oh, you know what would taste good right now? A peanut butter and jelly. And it's so easy. He was extremely worried about that. So thanks for your concern, and thanks for all the food conversation. I don't think we qualify as foodies when we're talking about PB&J, but it sure has been entertaining to read all of your tweets.
Good talk.
You can find me on Twitter, at A-Law Radio. I'm not going to do a four-hour show on PB&J, although, like I said, I feel like that's your favorite topic of conversation right now. I hope that you don't mind. We're actually going to talk about sports. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio and CBSSportsRadio.com. We're inside the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. We got a lot to do this show. You may think that because there's no college football or NFL games going on Wednesday night, that we're in a holding pattern or we don't have enough to keep us busy. Well, think again. That's why I get paid to do this job and you get paid to listen. There is a lot to do over the next 4 hours. First of all, I saw this stat that caught my attention. I wonder if this applies to you. So I may put it out there on Twitter and Facebook and just see what your reaction is. 24% of Americans now use podcasts on a regular basis. And you know, we have a podcast of all 4 hours of the show. In addition, we podcast each of our interviews separately. Tonight, we have two guests. Each of them has a new podcast. Now, Kevin Harlan's primary role as a sports broadcaster is not the podcast. But I asked producer Tom to get him on the show because I keep hearing about this podcast with Kurt Warner.
Podcast.
And I want to know what it's all about. So Kevin Harlan from Phoenix and then my friend King Kaufman, who is recently of satellite radio and actually had me on his show to talk about women in sports media, but he's got a new podcast called The Can't Win Podcast. It actually focuses on losers. I kid you not. We'll let him explain. But I'd love to hear from you. Let's move away from PB&J just a tad. I mean, you can always have a side of peanut butter and jelly. But let's talk podcasts. How much do you listen to podcasts? I think I may have mentioned that I've got a long road trip coming up for Christmas. 1,600 miles one way. So both to Houston and then back. I will be in the car for 3,200 miles, and I've started to collect podcast ideas because this is what I'm going to do. I don't listen to podcasts on a regular basis. I will listen to them when people that I know are guests on podcasts or if there's a particular topic that I want to hear more about. But I'm kind of busy doing our own podcast and doing our own radio show, and I don't have a ton of time to listen to them. However, some friends of mine have given me suggestions for historical podcasts or, you know, different things that are outside of sports. So I'm looking forward to diving into the world of podcasting as a listener over the holidays. What podcast do you listen to? I'd love to hear from you on Twitter at A-Law Radio or our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And we're, again, going to have a couple of different guests on tonight's show who will take us inside the art of podcasting. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. There is a team in professional sports. There may be more than one, but the one I'm thinking of right now in pro sports is so hot, hot, hot in terms of its profile and its attention and its excitement and its potential that it needs to clear space on its bandwagon. Every time we talk about bandwagons, I think of Isaac. Why? Well, because Isaac enjoys jumping on the bandwagon of the hottest teams, the most popular teams, or the teams that he thinks are going to have good seasons. For instance, he's recently become a Patriots fan.
Go Pats!
In addition to that, he's become a Rams fan because, you know, right now they're the hot young thing in the NFL.
Go Rams!
Along with the Philadelphia Eagles. And I recently heard, this may be a development in the last 48 hours or so, maybe the last week, that Isaac is also trying to clear some space on the Celtics bandwagon. Why? Well, because they've won 13 in a row and because he loves Brad Stevens.
Bang!
And Sean Grandy. So there are teams out there who tend to attract new fans because it's the sex appeal. As I say, it's the hot young thing.
Champ. Ah, be careful what you ask for.
And there is a hot young thing right now in pro sports that a lot of people are looking at, watching, investigating, thinking, maybe I should get in on the ground level here. That includes people in the media who, I'm sure you're shocked to hear this, are already proclaiming this team, the team of the future, it's got two future Hall of Famers. I mean, can we pump the brakes just a little bit? Except that this is sports, and it's the age of social media, and no one pumps the brakes ever.
Randle and Embiid battling. Embiid with the ball. Embiid to the left side. Drives on Julius Randle. Goes up. Banks it in. No call. No foul. Bucket by Embiid. 100-100. Joel Embiid with 39 points, a new career high. Down to Embiid. Embiid fakes against Randle, spins back, up and under move. He's fouled, and he put it in. Joel Embiid, he twisted, he turned. He made a counter to the counter, and he laid it in with a right hand. Redick trying to find Joel. Joel Embiid with a ball against Randle. Here comes the double team. He goes through the double team and scores it. Joel Embiid with 46 points in the game. They went right to him. He got it there before the double could come out, secure that trap. And a basket by Embiid with 30 seconds to go now. It's a 6-point Sixers lead.
Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, the Philadelphia 76ers. If you like to get in on the ground level or if you would like to reserve space on the Sixers bandwagon, you better not wait because they are hot, hot, hot. And everybody is looking at them as the team of the future. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Tom McGinnis with the call on the Sixers radio network. How about this game for Joel Embiid? 34 minutes of play, 14 of 20 from the floor. That includes a couple of threes. 16 of 19 from the free throw line, which, let's be honest, is rare for a big man. Not all big men are great free throw shooters. In fact, it's more the opposite, that a lot of centers, there aren't very many centers left in the NBA, let's be honest, but a lot of centers, power forwards, are not great at shooting free throws. Embiid is 7 foot tall, although in the bloated world of NBA heights, maybe not quite. However, listed at 7 foot tall, if you didn't see his hug with Kevin Hart after the game, it is hysterical. How tall is Kevin? How short is Kevin, I guess I should be saying? 5'4", maybe? 5'5"? 5'4". It was awesome. Anyway, see if we can find a gif of that. Really good stuff. So here's Joel Embiid, who has a career high 46 points and 15 rebounds and 7 assists and 7 block shots. And as much as he handles the ball, only 2 turnovers. Yep, might be time to get in on the ground level with the Philadelphia 76ers. And he's not their only star. Ben Simmons, 39 minutes. 18 points, 10 assists, 9 rebounds, 5 steals. So 1 rebound shy of a triple-double. We know they're not even using their rookie point guard right now, Markelle Fultz, with a shoulder injury. They've got a couple of budding superstars. They've got a couple of guys who bring some veteran experience, like a J.J. Redick. Even though he didn't shoot well tonight, in my opinion, bringing in Redick as one of their starters on the perimeter is a great way to keep them focused, to settle them down, because they are still relatively young. And so to have Redick as a steadying, stabilizing, calming force on the floor, smart. 76ers win in Los Angeles by a handful of points, but they do it on the stage, Staples Center against the Lakers. Lots of good young talent in these two franchises right now. Although Lonzo Ball did not play in the fourth quarter. Another rough shooting night for him. And so he was on the bench the entire fourth quarter. Are you into the 76ers? There were a lot of people who were jumping on that bandwagon, even going back to the NBA draft. Are you convinced now? Here's the other thing about Joel Embiid that's a lot of fun. The man kills it on social media. He will troll other players on Twitter. He actually, I can't remember who it was that he asked for a date on Twitter. Some celebrity, gorgeous celebrity. He's puts himself out there and he's funny. If you've not found him on Twitter, make sure you do, because it adds to the package. He's the guy who's always talking about trusting the process. He's extremely confident and yet likable, and has a game to go with it. So this is the pro team right now that needs to create some space on the bandwagon, because the fans are coming. At A-Law Radio is where you can find me on Twitter. What do you think? I know it's early, but it is the Eastern Conference. You would think in the Eastern Conference that there could be a spot in the postseason for the Philadelphia 76ers. I kind of break one of my cardinal rules here, because I typically do not talk about the playoffs this early in the year. However, just looking at the Eastern Conference, you would think that the 76ers have a yeoman's chance, a fighting chance at getting into the top 8. Just not to alarm anyone, but right now the Cavaliers are on the outside looking in. I know it's mid-November. So at A-Law Radio, 855-212-4227. How much do you pay attention to podcasts too? That's kind of our general question tonight. And then on our Facebook page, always available and operational for you. Coming up next, we've got some QB news. We might be obsessed with the hot young thing in sports. We're also obsessed with our quarterbacks. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
The guy is drunk.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
We are now up to 14 of 32 NFL teams using multiple quarterbacks, two or three, because of injuries or ineptitude this season. The latest, number 14 on the list this fall, is the Buffalo Bills, who benched their starting quarterback late in a blowout against the New Orleans Saints, only to have their coach indicate that he was still the starter. So something has now changed with the Buffalo Bills. And as I say, they become team number 14 to use at least a second quarterback. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Your QB news from Western New York with head coach Sean McDermott.
As I continually evaluate our roster and our goal to become better, I've decided to start Nate Peterman as our quarterback this week. I remain confident in Tyrod Taylor and his ability to help our football team moving forward. Really, it's about becoming a better team. That's what we're here for. And we are 5-4. I understand that. And we are in the playoff hunt at this point. It is always and will forever be about becoming the best team that we can possibly become. And we are made for more than 5-4, and I've come here to be more than 5-4. I've been impressed with Nate and his maturity as a rookie at a very early point in his career, and he's certainly worked hard. That said, he has a lot of work to do, just like we all do.
So Sean McDermott will start his fifth-round rookie QB out of Pitt. He just made his NFL debut last weekend. He had two possessions. He was 7 of 10 through the air and did have a touchdown. But let's keep in mind, at this point, the Saints are clobbering the Bills. And more than likely, the defense is not going all out for New Orleans. And interestingly enough, Tyrod Taylor was still the Buffalo starter after the game on Sunday, then again on Monday. And Coach McDermott says he woke up on Tuesday and had changed his mind and decided to give Nate Peterman a shot, which, of course, doesn't sit well with the veteran Taylor.
Disappointed. That's one of the feelings, but definitely just disappointed. Like I said, I don't agree with the decision, but ultimately, Coach McDermott has a vision for this team, what he feels is best for the team, as well as the owners and GM. So I have to move forward and continue to be the teammate and the leader that I am from a different role. I don't really look at life as fair or unfair. There's going to be plenty of circumstances that you go through that's not fair or fair. Just got to deal with it, to be honest.
So Tyrod Taylor, who renegotiated his massive contract from 2016 before the season started after McDermott was hired and first-year GM Brandon Bean convened and conversed with McDermott, they decided that they would keep Taylor as their starter, though they lopped off a couple of years from the end of his deal and they restructured it. They changed the money. So Tyrod remained in Buffalo, even though there were a lot of people thought he would be a free agent and would be free to search for employment elsewhere. Maybe this is the end of Taylor in Buffalo, though that's a lot to put on the shoulders of the eighth quarterback selected in last year's NFL draft.
I think you always kind of expect to have your opportunity. I knew my opportunity was going to come sometime. So for this to be it, you know, I'm trying to be ready. And I've tried to be ready since the first day I stepped here in this facility. So just trying to work hard this week and get ready for the Chargers.
So Nathan Peterman will get his first start this weekend after the Bills have dropped back-to-back games to fall to 5-4. Now, they are still part of the wild card conversation in the AFC, but remember where we were a couple of weeks ago? They were a team that could potentially challenge the Patriots atop the AFC East. Here's my big question mark. Why is it the quarterback's fault when the defense can't stop anyone? And the last 2 weeks, that defense has given up a ton of yards and points. Think about what the Saints did with the 6 rushing touchdowns and the 300 yards on the ground. And now here go the Bills on the road, back-to-back games against the Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs, and then they're back home to host the Patriots. Who knows if Peterman will still be out there, but this is his shot.
It was, you know, pretty emotional, a little bit, trying not to show it, obviously, but, you know, it's a dream come true, obviously, to get this opportunity, you know, and I've been through a lot, I think, to get here, too, so it's certainly not done, though, at all. I mean, it's a great opportunity, but it's still all in front of me, and I got to go work to earn it.
So the Buffalo Bills become the 14th team in the NFL this season to use multiple QBs because of injuries or ineptitude. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The Minnesota Vikings have decided to stick with Case Keenum at quarterback. They've got a 5-game win streak. They are 7-2 on top of the NFC North. And what a clash coming up in week number 11. Keenum will start against his former team, the Rams, who are also 7-2, and they've won 4 straight games.
I'm excited to play the Rams. You know, first of all, they're 7-2, and they are playing really well. I think it's a 4-game win streak those guys have. So, I mean, they're playing awesome. I mean, they're scoring a lot of points on offense, and, you know, their defense is holding people, you know, to not many.
Should be one of the games that would require your attention coming up this weekend. Feels like a good test at this point. Here we are in week number 11. Weather starts to turn colder, of course, though not necessarily in Los Angeles, but you get my point. You've got these two quarterbacks who are playing well in Jared Goff, who's getting a lot of attention, and then also the Minnesota Vikings. And when you think about the potential for these two teams, the expectations coming into the season, to me, it's so different. The Vikings thought they'd have Sam Bradford, and his knee obviously did not cooperate. They do have Teddy Bridgewater back in terms of his ability to play, though he's not yet taken any snaps on the field. But it's Case Keenum. Even without their star running back, their rookie Dalvin Cook, it's Case that's provided that stability for the offense. Then you've got the Rams, who, yeah, I mean, I think we're expected to do better under Jeff Fisher. Without Jeff Fisher, you couldn't do a whole lot worse. But for them to start out the way that they have with their young coach, couple of new weapons, but Jared Goff, it's been night and day from his first season where he went 0-7 to where he is right now. So both of these storylines for the Vikings, who will host this game in week 11, and for the Rams, interesting because they're positive, but they didn't get to this point the way that you might have expected. So for now, Case Keenum's the right call. I mean, you don't change, at least I don't think you do, you don't change your quarterback, the most important guy on the field, when you are riding a 5-game win streak. And Keenum's been the one who stepped in even in the middle of a game at one point because Sam Bradford had to leave at halftime. Was that a Monday Night Football game, right, where he was playing? Maybe it was a primetime game. And so he's the guy that's been ready to go whenever he's been called on. And Mike Zimmer can trust him. And with Teddy, maybe he needs some time to get back into the football shape, so to speak.
There used to be this idea years ago where a quarterback or any player does not lose. Hello, Amy. How are you?
Good.
There used to be this idea where a guy couldn't lose his job because of injury. And it was always that way. Guy got hurt. He's the starter. He comes back. He's playing. It's different now. Mm. I mean, these coaches are more on the hot seat now to win games. And if you got a hot hand, you got to ride the hot hand. And these guys that are hurt have to understand that. There's exceptions, too. If Tom Brady is injured, is out a few weeks, and he comes back, he's going
to
play.
Well, and people are starting to ask about Andrew Luck in Indy, right, who shut down the rest of this year. If Jacoby Brissett continues to play well, I've even heard some ridiculous things like, what if Brett Hundley plays really well the rest of the season? Aaron Rodgers loses his job? Like, what are you watching? It makes my voice get very high.
I'd like to hear the Tom Brady from SNL.
What? That's me, actually. Okay, so while we're all here, while we're all here in Pete's in studio, I was wondering, what is your schedule for next week? When will you be here?
Let's see. Next week, I will be here on Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
I will be here on Tuesday night, I think.
So you're here Monday and Tuesday of next week.
I believe I'm here Monday and Tuesday. I've got to double check that. And then I'm all, oh, yes, Monday and Tuesday
and
night.
And then going to Thanksgiving.
And then Thursday morning I'll be here.
Oh, well, I won't, but okay.
I'll be here Thursday morning. And then I'm taking off with my family for Philadelphia to see some family
there. Oh, good. Okay. And that, then, that was it. That's all I
asked.
That's
what you needed to know?
That's good.
Okay. You asked for the schedule for next week, and I was just trying to think.
Well, I was asking when you were here next week.
Will you be here Monday and Tuesday?
I will. So I was thinking we should do
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Remember last year at this time we did a Thanksgiving video, and it took us like five takes because Pete talks a lot. He's a lot of people to thank. So anyway, don't you remember? It took a long time.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
I think there was some problem with the person taking the video too, probably.
So I was thinking next week to carry on with tradition, my last show is Tuesday night before I take off to spend time with my family, that we would do a new Thanksgiving video next week.
Sure. Are we dressing up like in the traditional Thanksgiving?
We did that last year, didn't we? We sort of dressed up. Or
didn't
was
we
that
have like some
was
kinda,
that the year before? Would you like to have food?
I'd love to. Look at me. Of course.
No, come on. Well, you'd have to bring something.
Of course I'll bring something.
Oh, yes. What do you guys think? Are we in for a fun, I mean, we don't have to cook a turkey or anything, but some fallish dishes for a Thanksgiving feast?
Isaac will go to the bodega and go shopping.
Okay, why don't you talk to Cheryl and get the menu made?
Or we could do a chubby buddy again. No, not for Thanksgiving. We're not ruining Thanksgiving. Maybe closer to Christmas. Mm-hmm. Okay, so next Tuesday night, or should we do Monday night just because I have to leave first thing on Wednesday morning? Let's do Monday night.
Monday night?
All right, Monday night. Is that too much to ask?
No, I don't think so.
What about you guys? Thumbs up, thumbs
sure,
down.
Sure, that's fine. Fine by us.
Uh-oh. Tom seems a little skeptical.
I didn't like the way he answered
that
question.
Yeah, that was a weird type of vocal inflection there.
Almost as if he was planning on not being here on Monday night.
I know, like he's going to miss out on all the good food.
Nah, I'll be here.
Gosh, she said Monday night. That was the day I was going to call in sick.
All right, coming up, a friend of mine, King Kaufman, will join us from the West Coast. He's got a new podcast called Can't Win. It literally does focus on losers. I'm not kidding. And so I'll ask him why he decided to be a negative Nelly.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I am not yet a connoisseur of podcasts, but I'm about to be with two really long road trips coming up. I'm looking for your suggestions that can keep me company over roughly 3,500 miles between Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter at @alawradio. What do you think? What are some of your favorite podcasts? We have a couple of different podcasts we're going to highlight on the show tonight because they intrigue me, because they're interesting. And so if you've got some suggestions, send them to me on social media, and we've got some suggestions for you. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Also, it appears that there's no way I'm going to be able to get away from your tweets about peanut butter and jelly. It's just not happening anytime soon. Let's quick take this call from Mike in L.A. Mike, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio. We can give you about 90 seconds. Go.
Hey, what's going on? Talking about the Sixers. Yeah, I'm fully sold on this team. The only thing setting them back is obviously Embiid's injury history. But, man, this guy's special. He can do it all, inside, outside. He's basically probably a larger one than Shaq with more range. And then when you take into account Ben Simmons, who's more like a magic type, maybe develop a little bit of shot. But Sam Hinkie, I know he ended up, funny enough, getting fired for it, but he built a roster, and then adding a guy like J.J. Redick and then adding a guy like Covington. This team's really good, and once Fultz comes back, I mean, who's to say they couldn't challenge anybody? I think they got the athleticism, they got the size, they got the shooting. I mean, this is going to be a fun team to watch. And them in Boston, it's going to be fun to see those two battle for years to see who comes out of the Eastern Conference to the finals. So I'm loving what I've seen. And Joel Embiid is actually better than I thought he'd be. I think maybe he'd be maybe a double-double guy. I didn't think this guy was to be this good. So I'm fully sold. Even though I'm a Laker fan, I'm fully on board with what the Sixers got. Man, those guys are spectacular, and they're fun to watch. So I try to see them as much as I can on League Pass. So I'm glad I was able to see them tonight at Staples Center, even though the Lakers lost.
Yeah. No, well, it was a close game. It was a competitive one. But I think you're right. The collection of young talent between the Lakers and between the Sixers, who may not be in the exact same place, but are both franchises that are attempting to rebuild kind of from the ground up, even as much as they've been through in their careers or in their histories. Excuse me. Mike, thanks so much for calling from L.A. I'm glad you enjoyed the game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. And now we're excited to welcome from the West Coast, King Kaufman, who is the creator and the host of a brand new podcast called Can't Win for Losing. It literally is about losers, which I find fascinating because we're kind of obsessed with winners and losers in this generation where it seems like everyone gets a trophy, and yet we still are very quick to point to losers when we spot them. King, welcome to the show. What made you decide to do a podcast about losers?
Well, like you said, it kind of fascinated. I've always been fascinated by it. My first Little League team went 0-20, and I didn't get a hit for the whole year. And, you know, I have lots of excuses for why that is, but I feel like it sort of shaped a lot of things in the way I look at life. And I just have always found that the losing side often has more interesting stories and more interesting things to say than the winning side. I mean, you know, the winners are kind of like, woohoo, and pouring champagne over each other. And the losers are like, well, what happened? And there's lots of conversation. So I don't know. It's just always been a fascination of mine. And I finally got to do something about it.
Well, certainly working in this business for such a long time, there is a definite trend when it's a team or a person who's got a lot of losing or negative headlines attached to them. It seems to generate more conversation than the teams that are winning all the time. They're boring. There's not as much drama. It's not a soap opera. We tend to like to watch the train wrecks. We're kind of rubberneckers when it comes to what's happening in other people's lives. And if it looks like a wreck, then we tend to stop and look at it and pay attention.
Yeah. I mean, there's no movies about someone whose life is just really good and everything happens, you know, everything's great and no problem. You know, I mean, there's always a problem. That's where the story starts. So there's that. And, you know, I found that when I first came up with this idea and ever since then up to today, whenever I tell people, I do this podcast, it's called Can't Win for Losing. It's about losing. Whoever I'm talking to always says, well, of course you're going to do a story about, and then, you know, whatever their local team is. Like everybody feels like they've got the loser's story, like the team that at least one of the teams they root for is the quintessential loser. And just, it just seems like everybody identifies with it.
Mm. Well, you did have an episode that involved Cleveland that ran in October during the World Series. And of course, there was this this great idea throughout the fall, summer and fall, that the Indians would have a chance at redemption, might get back to the World Series to make up for what happened in 2016 when they lost in Game 7 on their own field. There certainly is a lot to pick apart when you're talking about Cleveland sports. And I know just from spending time with not only my own family in Northeast Ohio, but listeners as well, they tend to have this association, this connection to the losing storylines.
Yeah, I think it kind of colors your whole way of looking at the world, at life. To be a sports fan in Cleveland, or to be a Cubs fan, or to be, you know, up until 2004, a Red Sox fan, and that's what that episode was about. And if people aren't familiar with the podcast, it's a documentary podcast. These are produced, you know, narrative stories. It's not just, you know, me and somebody else talking or me interviewing somebody over the phone kind of thing. It's like so the theme of that one story was, does it color your personality to grow up in, let's say, Cleveland, where until the Cavaliers won last year, no world championships in any major sport since 1964. And, you know, kind of yes. And even and it doesn't cure everything to win one. It's like, okay, now they've won one. But there's still this, like, you know, their sports fans in Cleveland are pessimistic and fatalistic. And, you know, it's still Cleveland.
I have already heard from a lot of fans who are just assuming that the Browns are going to go 0-16 this season. They nearly did last year, but people seem certain that this is the year where they go 0-for again.
Yeah. And, you know, I was on a Cleveland podcast, the McNeil Show, and they didn't know when they booked me that that I'm a Warriors fan, and so that was sort of shocking for them. But anyway, they are organizing a parade, and they've got the permits and everything. And if the Browns go 0-16, they're going to have a winless parade, and in January, which you know I am planning to attend. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I'll find a way. I'll walk there if I have to. But yeah, I mean. And what's going to happen, what always seems to happen is, you know, the Browns have all these games coming up against 3-6 teams, and it looks like they're going to beat the Steelers or something, right? That's always how it goes.
There's only been one other 0-16 season in NFL history, and that was the Detroit Lions in 2008. And I will tell you, I still hear from a lot of Detroit fans who feel like until their team actually wins a playoff game, that they're also in that category of losing. King Kaufman is with us. He is the creator and the host of Can't Win for Losing, which is essentially a podcast about losers. What's another one of your favorite stories? We've got about 2 minutes to go, so what's one of your favorites?
Oh, I think my favorite story wasn't even about a team. It wasn't even about a human being. It was about a horse named Zippy Chippy, a thoroughbred horse who ran 100 times and lost 100 times. And, you know, he started at Belmont Park and he ended up at, you know, county fairs in Massachusetts. But he became this sensation, this big star. People would crowd into the racetrack to see him. And they'd bet on him. He'd run off as the favorite, even though he never won. And he was in People magazine. He was one of People's 50 most intriguing people 1 year. And in retirement, he's still alive, and he lives on a retirement farm near Saratoga Racetrack. He is so popular that he subsidizes the retirement life of dozens of champion racehorses who won millions and millions of dollars. He won $30,000 in his 10-year career, you know, finishing third a few times.
Whoa.
And so he becomes kind of the winner in the end. And, you know, I just loved that story. I thought it was a really great story. Zippy Chippy, the losingest racehorse of all time.
Oh, I can't wait to listen for that one. And then really quickly, I'm not kidding, 30 seconds, who's Mike Porter?
Yeah. Mike Porter, a high school football coach in Houston who, as a player, never won a game in high school, never won a game in college. He went to Prairie View A&M. Both his high school and his college, while he was there, were in the middle of 80-game losing streaks, which is the longest in history of high school and the history of the NCAA. So, of course, what does he do after going 0-77 as a player? He becomes a coach. He's Monday's episode.
Gonna have to check that out. Look for Can't Win for Losing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you happen to get your podcast with King Kaufman. And you can find him on Twitter in that same exact place, at King_Kaufman. Thanks so much for joining us for a couple of minutes, King.
Amy, always great to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
I feel like that's a niche. How many podcasts have you heard of out there that are specifically about losing and losers? Zippy Chippy, that's going to be on my list of podcasts I need to check out. If you need auto parts but can't get to the store just yet, head to O'ReillyAuto.com. No shipping costs, easy returns, convenient pickup on your schedule. Shop your way for the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.